A very good morning to everyone. So for those who have woke up from the several day of feasting, thank you for coming. So before we start, we just commit our time to the Lord. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the good opportunity to be able to end this year for us in a successful way for everyone, that we're able to look at it in hindsight that we have done whatever you want us to do. But Father, we know that you want us to be a better person every day and allow us to change and become one with your help. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Right. So actually, today, remember last Sunday, I said that I got two parts. The first part I talked about is God fair and just. Right? And then the conclusion is that, is it God fair and just? Yes, isn't it? For those who still remember what I talked about last Sunday, right? God is fair and just, actually, right? But the person is that, next thing is that, we know, why do we always think that God's not just? Because we don't understand God's nature. So second part of us here, we talk about that, how can we change our nature, right? So let's look at the next one, is that we know that we can do the countdown, because if you look at now, it's 27, a few more days, the thing will take over. Will be 2016, right? So remember, last year, 2015, January, a lot of us actually have put down a diary or whatever things that there are things we want to do, there are things we want to change, and there are things we want to be better in the year 2015 compared to 2014. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Right. Why do we put that down? Let's discuss later. But the thing is that if we took stock now, do an audit to see what you put down there, how many items or how many points have we actually achieved it? We put down every year. It seems to be repeating, asking the same thing every year, but we seem to be repeating the same mistakes. We never change, right? So why do we never change? Is that because there's some reason, right? And then we'll talk about what are the reasons later. But one thing which happened important is that remember, when you were young, when you want to grow up, you always ask this question: when I grow up, what I want to be, right? I remember my older son, Paul, when he was young, depending on what he saw outside there, he want different thing. Sometimes he want to be the garbage collector, right? Because he caught a truck pass by, and then at that time, they don't have those automated ones. Someone will hang it on the car, and the truck jump down, put the rubbish bin, throw it in, and jump back again, right? He found it as cool, right? So he wanted to be a garbage collector. And sometime when he saw a fire engine pass by, he said, I want to be a fireman, right? Why we are doing that is because we always want to be someone which is more admirable to us and better than us as a human being. We always aim for something which is higher than us. Is that correct? Right, I think we do, right? So the things I don't want to ask you what you want to be when you are young and whether you achieve it or not, because most of us actually did not achieve it, because my son Paul did not become a garbage collector or become a fireman. Okay, so that's not a thing. But as a Christian, surely what we want to follow, definitely as a Christian, we say that we want to be following Christ, right? Is that correct? Right. There's always, as a Christian, we want to do. We say that I want to be a better person, so the best way for us is to follow Christ. Right. I think there's no argument. Otherwise, you won't be sitting here listening to me, but probably sleeping in bed, just like Philadelphia said that last Christmas, she missed out the Christmas lunch because she was sleeping. Right. So the whole thing is that, how do we become a good follower of Christ? I think everyone will have different type of idea. So I say that, okay, I look around, see that what would be the best thing to grow at Christ. Actually, I found there are slides there which talk about what would be a faithful follower of Christ will be. Actually, it's quite daunting. You look at all the tasks it require. You have to be biblical focused, right? You have good worshipper, you're good minister, you have the good missionary, evangelistic witnesses, lifelong learner, faithful steward, and a person of prayer. Actually, it's a big ask, right? If I ask myself, have I fulfilled this one? Probably about 10%, Right? I don't know, some of you might have 100%. Right? There are always Superman and Superwoman around. But the whole thing for me, I'll probably say that I'll fall short practically in every area. Right? So every area, for me, there are plenty of rooms for improvement. That's my view of myself. Right? So that's what's happening. So the thing is that since we fall so short, far short behind, so what do we do? But someone said that, oh, God accepts us what we are, so we don't need to worry about it. Right? But the thing is that although we fall short in every area, how do we do it? But remember, I talked about the last Sunday, I talked about the parable of the talent. Right? I'm recycling it because we know about we need to be conservative. Okay, so I'm recycling the same parable again. Right? So the parable talk about what things? It's the Matthew chapter 25:14-28. Right? So for those who have been here, so I will not repeat it, but just summarize it. Right? Basically, it's talk about a man going away on a journey. So he shared and trusted his wealth to the servants. Some of them he gave 10 bags of gold, others 5, and one of them two, and then one of them 1. And then all the men go to invest them, except one servant who actually buried the gold and hide his master's money. Right? So, and when they return, the master said that, okay, I came back for a long time. What have happened to the gold or talent I entrust to you? The one who have 5 said, I'll make it 10. So he was awarded. The other one said, I double it, and then I watch it, and so forth. Until he came to the last servant and said that, which I read actually in, so the whole thing is that, what I read is actually from 24. The 24, verse 24 actually says something which is more important. The man he received 1 bag of gold came and complained to the master and said, right, I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not sown. So I'm afraid and went out and hired your gold and see if it belonged to you. So what happened is that the master is angry, saying that you're lazy, and punish him. Actually, when you look at it, really, it's a bit, what he demands, the servant's complaint is a bit like us complaining that God is not a fair and just God. Right? That's our problem. Right? The important thing is that oftentimes, we will say that historically, the Bible is the most widely read book in history. But it's also one of the most misread and misquoted book in history. Because we often took one part and jump to some conclusion instead of looking at in totality. Likewise, we always, as a human being, for some unknown reason, we always did this type of things, right? Because surely, remember, when you read a book, just look at the cover, you can't tell what's in. Look at the first chapter, you really cannot tell what the whole book is about. But when we do the Bible, even as Christian, we always cherry pick things that suit us. Right? Because in the Bible, there are things which are doctrines, some of them are historical facts. Oftentimes, we ourselves miss it up. That's why this servant have the conclusion that the master is a hard man. Because he just picked one part and say that, hey, God actually killed all the people in the Old Testament. So he must be a hard master, right? But why did God kill those people? He didn't try to find out or did not read any further. So that's our own problem, okay? So what's wrong with this lazy servant, right? That's one thing. We talk about it. It's just a matter of laziness, right? That's what I normally do in the office, right? Okay? So the whole thing now is that easily, one part that surely is one of us is laziness, right? Because we always like to live in the comfort zone. Anything that a bit adventurous, a bit outside what we want to do, we don't want to do it, right? So it's laziness. But more important is that it's denial problems, right? He doesn't say that he got a problem. The problem is with the master. He's too harsh, right? So I don't avoid him. I don't want to do anything with him, right? It's nothing to do with me. I'm perfect, right? So I'm no problem, right? So that's the problem. So the thing is that, remember, he doesn't want to change himself. One of the things I quote from here is one of the Russian novelists, Leo Tolstoy, talked about the War and Peace. He said that everybody wants of changing humanity and nobody wants of changing himself. Right? We think that we can have the ability to change everything in the world, but we never change ourselves. We never say, think that the problem is with us. We always the problem with other people, right? Even as a Christian, how many times do we have pointed a finger to other people and said, you are wrong? But have we ever looked at ourselves? Seldom. We always think that we are correct. Isn't that correct? Right. So this is our issues here, right? So Christians actually have other problems, right? For example, in Romans 7, 14 to 20, the apostle say, we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm not unspiritual. Right? So say, I'm not good. Okay, that's what I say. So as a slave to sin, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. Right? That's what our usual, as even Christian, that's what we do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Right? That's what he said. That, oh, I know that something is good, but I cannot do it. Right? As it is no longer myself who did it, but the sin to live in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. Now if I do what I do not want to do, is not not later I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it, right? Because of nature or our inertia, we always cannot do the right thing, right? But the thing is that we know that there's good standard, God's standard there, that want us to achieve the right thing, but we never do it. Because by ourselves, our nature, sinful nature will not allow us to do it. I took an example. It's like that when you went to diving, right? If you wear let weight around your waist, you go down, you never get up because you're weighed down by the weight of the lead, right? You cannot rise to the surface, right? So you need to discuss all those things because it rises up. Similarly, in the balloon, when the air balloon, when they say that it's too heavy, they need to throw away some sandbag and it will throw up again. Right? The whole thing is that we are basically weighed down by simple nature. A lot of things that we cannot change because by nature we are like that. We don't want to change. Right? So there's another thing to talk about. So our regret always is that we always regret that I'm not someone else. When we look in the Christian, or someone looks better than me, my regret is that how come I'm not like him or like her? And then you can complain that God doesn't allow me to do so, right? So again, we are blaming God instead of blaming ourselves, right? Often, that's our problem. So the thing now is that, but remember one thing is that Christian life is all about change, right? Once you accept Christ, already you should be a changed person, right? And our old self, remember, we are weighed down by many, many baggages and bondages, whether it's spiritual, physical, mental, in every way, we are weighed down. Right? When you think about it, do you have any problem? Yes, we do. So everyone have to develop habit to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us to change. Right? So it's either your way or God's way. Right? Remember one thing, God's way oftentimes are totally in the different direction as your way. Why is that so? Because just like Lorenzo talked about, God wants us to mold us all the time, right? Sometimes, if you're a diamond, God wants to polish you to become sparkling. To polish you and cut you, there's some pain, right? You must discuss something to be beautiful or shiny. If you say that, I want to be a rough diamond, full stop, right? You will be, just Lorenzo talked about last time, you will be yucky and ugly. For those ladies, there's an incentive for you to be polished, okay? Remember. The important thing is that God's way may be in a two different direction. We always want to go the easy way, right? That's why I say most of the time, what do the people say? Most people say that I want to be a billionaire. How do I do it? Oh, I go and do I pay the Tesla to every week. Eventually, I'll become a millionaire. I haven't seen anyone yet, okay? So the whole thing, remember, God's way can be very different. God might want you to do things which are contrary to what you want to do. We always want to do the way. So the important thing is that we must have raise a hand to have the willingness to change. Right? If you don't want to change, no one can change you. Likewise, actually, when God gives the hand to you, you must accept it. If you don't accept it, God will not be able to pull you up by itself. If you don't accept the hand, there's always the issues there. So, there's some criteria for change here. The first one, I'll just base it 4-1 here. The first one, we must see the need to change, right? But remember, that is already ingrained in us. Remember every year, New Year, you put, remember, talk about every year we put down what we want to do, what we want to change, because every one of us know that we need to change and become a better person, either in a personal life, spiritual life, professional life, and any life. We want to be better. We know that we need to change. We need to go to a higher level, right? That's important. Also, we have a desire to change. Your desire is already there. That's why you put it down, right? But the important thing is that have we decided to change? We can put it down. We can look at that, right? And then at the end of the year, you talk about it and say that, oh, I haven't done it. So I put it again, postpone it to next year, right? And then we postpone it to next year again, right? So important thing, why? Because a lot of time, we do not know how to change, right? And change, remember, is a process. We need to go through them step by step. Is that easy? It's not easy. Otherwise, we will not be ourselves all the time, right? That's our habit. Always old habit die hard. Right. So surely as a Christian, we know that daily Bible reading and study and prayer help us to know what way we can change. And also, as a Christian, we always be able to ask God to forgive us we are tempted, and we can resist temptation. So these are the benefit we will have. But the challenge for us is that actually we need to know what God really is. Because remember, we want to follow God. We want to follow example. If you don't know exactly what example is about, what are you following? But remember, we talked about last week, we talked about, is God unjust and fair? If my conclusion is God is not fair, why do you follow an unjust person? Right? That's our issue. Oftentimes, when we read the Bible, if we misread it and cherry pick what we want to shoot ourselves, we will follow the wrong example. That's our problem. So the whole thing, the challenge, is that we must be a certain person that are committed to the Christian life will. If people else ask me, "Oh, you're religious?" I say, "I'm not religious. Christianity is a way of life, right? I want to live it out. It's not a religion, it's not a ritual, right? If a ritual is easy, but it's not a ritual. That's most important, right? So I'll say that this one is that what will happen to change, right? So I always pick a person. I think everyone will know about who this person is. Peter, right? Peter, remember the Bible, was apostles. He was a fisherman, right? The whole thing is, as a fisherman at that time, do you think that he was educated? Do you think he's eloquent? Do you think that he's literate? He must be totally illiterate. He's a rough type of person. When he read through the Bible, his behavior is very impulsive. He doesn't seem to be learned, genteel, or eloquent in speech in any way. That's why that you haven't seen any gospel according to Peter, right? So that he probably cannot speak very well. But remember one thing. After he was changed by the Holy Spirit, what happened to him? Right? I will read a passage here from Acts chapter 3, verse 12 to 18. This way, after he went to the church, he healed a crippled person at the temple. And then all the Jews were amazed that, oh, how this few person was in jail last time he came out and raised them up. And when Peter, I'll just read it and talk about how Peter had changed. Right? When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by own power or godliness we made this man walk?" So it's just, first of all, you say that it is not us that made the man walk, right? He didn't claim the glory, right? "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, and the God of our servant Jesus, you hand him over to be killed and you disown him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disown the holy and religious one and ask that a murderer be released to him." All right? "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. You are witness to this." So the whole thing, his way of talking is that it's not us that raised him, but the person you have condemned and killed have the power, Jesus to raise him. Right? So they say, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong is Jesus' name, and the faith that comes through him that is completely healed him," so you can see. And then he said that really The way he's talking about, he really pushed the Israel down into the dump, right? You saw the power, but remember, what have you done, right? So when you think about, oh, I've done the wrong thing, right? But suddenly, he's very changed. Now, fellow Israel, I know that you act in ignorance and did your leaders. So he tried to put them up a bit and say that, I will give him a way out. I know that you've done the wrong thing, but I'll give you a way out, right? So, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah will suffer, repent then and turn to God so that your sin may be wiped out, blah, 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 and so forth. So basically, he's saying that, I know they've done wrong, but you are really, it's God's plan. So you are not totally what you call responsible, right? So you got a way out, having received until the time come, and then you start to talk about through the most everything. And then talk about Moses. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your people. You must listen to him. Anyone does not listen will be completely cut off the people. For the Jews, he talked about Moses. To the Jews at that time, Moses was the greatest prophet. So he said that even your greatest prophet says so. Right? And then he talked about, indeed, beginning with Samuel, all prophets have spoken about it. So they are the heir of the prophet. So he said, basically, he's talking about them. I am not the only saying so. This is them. Moses, the greatest prophet, and all the prophets actually foretold it. So in effect, you should understand, right? So give them, make a stronger argument and logic to talk about it. So you can see that from an illiterate, properly impulsive, and probably not eloquent person, he can use good logic, good speech, and also can desire the God. So you can see that the Holy Spirit can change people, right? Most of us actually probably are better educated than Peter. I think that no one is illiterate here, is it? Anyone illiterate here? None, okay. So we are all better than Peter. Most of you, we have tertiary education, right? So you are actually much, much higher than Peter. You are probably in this class of the Pharisees. I hope not, okay? Right? But the thing is that you can see that God can change Peter from an illiterate, not eloquent person to one who can speak eloquently, logically, and convincingly. Right? So think about what can do to you. That's important. Right? So the thing is that what is important for us is that, do you want to change this person this year? Right? I think we all want to be changed. But the important thing is that surely we have the desire to change now, and we decided to change. But the next step is that how? Most important, how can we change? Right? So you ask a question, most of us say that, I don't know. I don't know how to change. Otherwise, we won't be stuck here. But do remember, in every change, we are going to a higher level, a better level. Really, when you go up the higher level, it's always uphill. It's never downhill. Go downhill is easy. Go uphill is hard, right? It's harder. We need to spend energy and effort to go uphill, right? If you go downhill, you can roll down. Doesn't matter, right? There's always the things there, okay? So the thing is that as human beings, we are, no matter how strong you are, we got many, many bondages. By ourselves, the uphill battle is really, really uphill, right? The problem is that, so we need to ask God for help. But remember in Luke chapter 1, 37, say, for nothing is impossible with God. We want change, it's not walking by ourselves. We need to get God's help for us to do so. So how to get God's help? We get the Holy Spirit. We talk about all the time. Holy Spirit, set our life on fire. We have this desire, our life will be on fire. And then I read this one, the Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. He said here, it's a bit like a prayer, right? I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's important, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what's good and acceptable and perfect. So this is real life prayer for us. When one change uses prayer, we know that we have a standard God wants us to achieve. So we don't need to conform to the world, although it's difficult, but But it's with God's help, we'll be able to do it. And just like Lorenzo talked about, we will allow ourselves to be polished and cut and endure some pain to be able to achieve that. Is that impossible? Remember one thing, if the God, Son of Man set you free, you'll be free indeed. With God's help, it is not impossible. By ourselves, it is sometimes impossible. Right? So that, remember John 8:30 says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. What will free you? Free our old bondages from old self will be a new person this year. So let's pray. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that we all fall short in many ways about your glory and about what you desire us to be. We know that personally, there are a lot of things that we want to leave behind, but these old things and old history always put it down. Sometimes it's hurting, sometimes we cannot forgive people, but just to say that, we need to love, learn to love. We need to offer our life to be a better person. We need to move ahead. We cannot live in the past forever. We know that for those who accept Christ, we know that you will help us. For those who haven't accepted, God is raising, is extending his hand to you, asking you to accept him so that you'll be able to pull you up from your past, allow you to be a renewed a person. For us, all of us, the next year will be a new year for us, and if we want to be a new person, we'll be able to prosper us every way, physically, spiritually, mentally, and for those who are working professionally and those academically. That's what we want us to be. But we need to accept the invitation and allow God to mold us and grow in our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.